Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the idea of a baptism, as I said, really excited me this morning. It thrilled me to see your child baptized. And we spoke briefly about the words in Matthew where Jesus is departing, getting ready to ascend into heaven, and he says, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Now, it's really interesting in there. "And also teach them everything I have commanded you." So we continue to teach. But it said all nations. He was telling the disciples that they were going to go throughout the world. And he's telling us we go throughout the world to make disciples of all nations and baptizing all nations. He doesn't say only men. He doesn't say only women. He doesn't say only adults. He doesn't say only children. Jesus does call the children to him, even infants. But he says for all nations to be baptized. And so I was thinking of baptism, and I thought about Acts chapter 16. Beginning at verse 25, Paul and Silas have been thrown into prison in Philippi. And about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and he was about to kill himself. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in. And trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved in your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up to his house and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. The entire household was baptized. That means everyone, including the servants, if they had any. And that includes the older people of the household to the very youngest of the people in the household. They were all baptized. Now, it says baptism now saves you. And what is so significant about baptism? I know Jesus was baptized. He didn't have to be, but he was baptized for us. But what is it about baptism that is so important? It brings us the forgiveness of sins. It brings us the Holy Spirit to give us the faith in Jesus Christ. But also listen to Romans chapter 6. "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we all who die to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Baptized into his death. What does this mean? It means, and for Devin this morning, that all of her sins, her original sin that she was born with, and all of her sins since then have been forgiven. Her old sins, her old sinful self has died, and she is now a new creation in Christ Jesus. She is now Christ's daughter. And we all who have been baptized into his death, so that our old has died and we too might walk in newness of life. For we have been united with him in a death like his. He died. You know that Jesus died? Yeah. Why? He died for our sins. So Jesus suffered and died for our sins in our place. Instead of us having to die, he died for our sins. Thank you, Levi, for helping me today. And so Jesus died on the cross, suffering and dying for us. So we have been united with him in his death, but we was also united with him in a resurrection like him. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. Again, that old Adam, that old original that we were born with has been crucified with him, but we didn't suffer the pains Jesus did. Our body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. We are free. For one who has died has been set free from sin. We have died with Christ. We believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Does that mean that we should go out, since this all been taken care of and our sins have been forgiven, so we should go out and just continue to sin because we know we're going to be blessed and forgiven? Well, the very beginning of this is, what shall we say then? Are we continuing sin that grace may abound? By no means. So don't think that, oh, I'm free to go out and sin now. You're not. You're free to live in Christ. You're free to live a godly life. But, yes, we will still sin. Each and every one of us, each and every day. But when we sin, we say, God, please forgive me through Jesus Christ, who suffered and died for my forgiveness. And you heard the forgiveness proclaimed to you today coming out of my mouth, but it wasn't from me. It was from God, speaking the words God has given me to speak. When I say, I forgive your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, that wasn't from me. That was from God. And now we are going to go to 1 Corinthians. There are some people who will say, he didn't really rise from the dead. That's just an old fable. Yeah, he died, but he didn't rise. And there's people who will believe that, and they'll come to you and they say, do you really believe that? That he rose from the dead? Can you really? Or there will people, some people will say, well, that's not important. The resurrection is not important. I read something online the other day that really got me thinking in this vein. And somebody has said, and reading it again, what he wrote, I understand more what he said. It was a pastor friend of mine, but he wrote something. And my first thought was that he was almost saying that the death is what is important and that the resurrection isn't so important. And I thought, it was almost like he's playing Good Friday against Easter. But I said, I read what he was saying wrong. But there was a song that says something, I don't know what it is, that he was crucified and died for me, then he rose and won. And that was the part that he was disagreeing with, because he won as soon, when he said on the cross, it is finished, that's what it's meaning. The debt has been paid in full. The debt has been paid in full. Our sins are forgiven through his suffering and death. Because at that moment when he defeated the devil, went down a hill and laughed at the devil and said, ha ha, dude, I won, you lost. The people, their sins are forgiven. And then, of course, he rose. He is risen. Do you really believe that? Okay, because some people would say he hasn't. And someone will ask, it's in Romans 15. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, Christ hasn't been raised, you might as well just go home. You know, you ready? No one's leaving. Ah, but if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. Period, end of paragraph. Oh, I'm so glad that Paul continued on. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Christ has been raised from the dead. Again, he is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And because he is risen, we are promised our resurrection also. So we go back to Devin's baptism and our baptism. We have been baptized with Christ into his death, but we are made alive in Christ at the same time. And Christ, who was crucified for us so that we don't have to be crucified, rose on the third day. And because he is risen, we also are risen. So we are connected to him through our baptism into death, but also more important, we are connected to him with his resurrection. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if you're going to ever talk about Christ, talk about him crucified and being raised for us, for our forgiveness, and for our eternal life. Devin, welcome to this beautiful life in Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen.